Hi, my name is Cassia Warshawski, and you are listening to A Dark Companion.
Hi, this is Zero, and you're listening to A Dark Companion, a Haunting Melissa and Dark Hearts podcast. This is another episode with a special guest for everybody out there. Guest, could you introduce yourself?
Hi, my name is Cassia Warshawski, and I played Melissa.
Yes, we've got Melissa on the show. So this is excellent. This is our second special guest in a row, our third altogether. So thank you for coming on the show.
Oh, thanks for having me on the show. Yes. I'm excited.
Yes, I'm very, very excited about this, too. This is kind of a big deal. The eponymous Melissa cool. on the show.
So cool.
Yeah. So I was wondering about how you first found out about this whole project and how, you know, it came onto your radar.
Oh, okay. Well, I live in Calgary, and I'd just come off another project that I did, which is kind of funny because it's the complete opposite of Haunting Melissa. It was actually like a Christmas special movie.
Mary-in-Laws?
Called Mary.
Yes, I watched
called
some
Mary-in-Laws,
of that.
And it was very like, haha, fun, lighthearted. And just through that, and through some people that I met through that, I met Neil. And we met and we chatted, and he told me about the project that he was creating. Mm-hmm. And this was probably in March maybe, and we just went for lunch, and he told me about his idea about the iPhone, iPad, new way of storytelling. And it was so exciting to hear something new and really cool, the thought of being a part of it. And then from there, I think Neil just went and he kept creating. And a couple months later, I got an audition. So I went and I auditioned for the role and then got the call that it was happening.
Oh, excellent.
So yeah. Nice. So that's, I mean, it was kind of old, like, you know, the way it usually happens. You definitely audition and then go from there. So yeah.
Hmm.
I feel really lucky to have been a part of this, though.
Oh, that's great. Mm-hmm. How, if you could recall, at least in, maybe generally, but the way that the character was kind of explained to you, or maybe how the story was explained to you, and how much do you feel like you got from that?
Like right off the bat?
Yeah, just as like an idea of, okay, like for instance, like the audition, you know, how much detail did they give you about who Melissa is, and then how much did you kind of get on your own from, you know, looking at the script and asking?
Well, I guess I'm trying to recall now.
Yeah, like
it was a few years ago now.
Yeah.
But I mean, right off the bat, I knew it was a young girl who was reeling from the death of her mother, and it. I mean,
I guess it's a tricky question.
Yeah, no, it's okay. I'm just trying to think. Like, I'm trying to think of how I was excited to play like a definitely dramatic role. And when I heard about the character, she kind of spoke to me right away, and I was excited to get to know her and to put my spin on it.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you start playing a character, it's almost like you, I don't want to say you become them, but you really get to know them, and of course you add a part of you to it. Like there's, there's a part of me in Melissa, sure. You know, and in who she is, because I am who I am, and it probably comes through. I mean, there's definitely different parts as well that I have brought to the character and things like that through playing her for a couple of years now. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I was excited. I'm trying to remember your exact question, but I was excited to put my own spin on her once I heard about her. She just sounded like a young, sensitive, vulnerable, strong, confident woman who was having all these obstacles thrown at her and needed to fight her way through that. And I was excited to play somebody like that.
Yeah. Well, moving into Dark Hearts and, you know, I assume getting some new information about, you know, where Melissa's story is going to go. How did you take a lot of that new information and incorporate that into kind of the feeling and what you already knew about Melissa, mm-hmm. And bringing in that new information and all the new stuff that's happened with the visitor and Emma and, you know, the relationship mm-hmm. with Brandon and all that stuff, you know, how did that kind of affect you?
You know what, as the character, I feel like I really just kind of took it day by day by day by day. Mm-hmm. Like, it wasn't like a conscious, like, me always thinking about Emma and like putting her in some like place in my mind. It was just when I was there on set, I was just trying to be in the moment and let myself just react honestly the way that she would. So I honestly, like, sometimes you just have to take like the whole like mental component out of it. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense.
Sure.
To you?
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah. That's kind of, but I mean, like, incorporating the new information, like the new,
well, just like kind of,
I mean, going through the story, just figuring out the new mystery. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is a mystery, and sure. Like trying to put the pieces together and trying to fit the pieces together, and also trying to not, like, I mean, she's also in this place of confusion. Mm-hmm. So trying almost not to put it together too much.
Right.
So I could still live. I needed to live in confusion.
Right. Yeah,
makes sense to you.
Definitely.
So it's almost hard to answer some questions because I did let myself live in confusion a little bit.
Hmm. Yeah, because I was just thinking.
Because.
Go ahead.
Sorry. No, you go. You go.
Oh, just, you know, as much as we, everybody that watches this, spend so much time kind of trying to figure out what's going on, I was always curious about how much the people on the crew and the people in the cast know what's going on, mm. You know, and I'm sure there's mm-hmm. a huge benefit, like you're saying, about keeping yourself in that mysterious place so mm-hmm. that, you know, reactions and the way that you do everything can be more genuine than if you just, you know, how this whole thing plays out and you're mm-hmm. just going to kind of go with it.
And I mean, I obviously knew how I know how the whole thing plays out. Like, I read the scripts millions, you know, many, many, many times. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, that being said, I was somehow still able to put myself in the shoes of Melissa and not see the bigger picture and keep myself confused about it all. Because, I mean, even still, like, even when you do have the big picture, some things can always be confusing. And to live in Melissa's world would have been so confusing. Mm. And was.
You definitely played it very well. Your performance in both movies is amazing.
That's really, thank you. That's really nice to hear.
No problem.
Thank you.
Yeah, and it's hugely important as you, you know, being the kind of central character in this story, that, you know, your performance was so believable and it was so dead on to how I think I would react, you know, in a lot of the situations that you were in. And it really makes you feel pulled into the movie, especially the first one being in that more found footage style. Mm-hmm. You can imagine yourself in that situation.
Well, thank you.
No,
that's
problem.
Really, really nice to hear. and the found footage style, it was very interesting to do. I mean, just like me and a camera and you know, words and like trying to make every word ring true. And it's so that's really nice to hear. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. What was that like, actually, you know, doing that found footage style? And I mean, I guess you did have to do some camera work with mm-hmm. that. And like, how did that feel kind of being in both roles of doing kind of, I guess, voice acting and working the camera at the same time?
Well, I was never actually working the camera.
Okay. So it was just kind of near you.
There was he was the camera man for the first one, mm-hmm. Haunting Lissa. And it was almost like sometimes like Norm and I were one in that one, because he was always holding the camera. Like I literally never held the camera. Maybe I had my hand on it a few times, potentially, mm-hmm. just to kind of guide. It was almost like I had to guide him with my movements and my breath. But I remember like certain times where Norm would be breathing in the same way that I would be breathing, because we really tried to just be as one type of thing.
Wow.
And I don't know if I'm allowed to say things like this, but well, whatever. I'm going to tell you. We were sitting on there's this one scene where I'm sitting on the bed and I'm holding the iPhone in the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
Like Neil's like actually sitting, or Neil, Norm is actually sitting on the bed beside me. And then Neil like erased him somehow in like post.
Really?
I don't know how he did that. Those amazing things that he can do. I don't know. So yeah, so that happened. Anyway, that being aside, and then in this one, in doing such an intimate piece where the camera's right in your face, the cameraman almost does become like another part of you.
Hmm.
Because you just really have to work in sync with them. I mean, especially in the first one, he was like a second character to me, because there also weren't very many characters in that one.
Right.
So it was like me and Norm working together to try and like move the flow of, you know, figure out each other's flow so we could make it look real.
I bought it. And I thought you might be holding the camera some of the time.
No, I was not. It was always him. So now I'm trying to remember what the first question was, because I feel like I went on a little tangent for you there. No,
tangents are fine, because I can't remember like, myself.
What did you ask me, actually? Wait, sorry. Oh, man. The camera. Oh, so yeah, did you ask me like what the camera styles and...
I can't even remember myself.
Oh, okay, good. Woo! So, okay, good.
Mission accomplished. No problem.
Right.
Well, I actually just got a question that popped up on Twitter.
Oh, okay.
And this is from Brian Kaplan. He's been on this show before and will be
on
again
soon.
And he wants to know, and this is a story point that we could talk more about too.
Okay.
Who do you relate to more, good or dark Melissa?
Oh, definitely good, Melissa.
Yeah.
For sure. The whole entire time I am like, well, that from where I am as myself, I am like fighting bad Melissa to the, like, as hard as I possibly can. And it's just like this thing, I think it's just this thing that comes into her, comes into Melissa, and she recognizes it as foreign. And it's something that has not always been there, and she doesn't want it there, but it obviously like it's something beyond her control. But I don't know. I personally believe Melissa has so much good in her that she has the ability to fight that and to push it down. And she keeps it down for so long because there is so much good and there is, you know, so much, well, I guess just so much good in her that she is really trying to push all of that away. And she genuinely, like, loves the people in her life. And she really loved her mother very much and cares about her mother very much and is going on this huge search. And, the whole time is just trying to fight away this something that just keeps gnawing at her. But, that thing that keeps gnawing at her is out of her control.
Right.
I mean, she can control it a little bit. I feel like she can push it down and be like, no, that's not right. That's not real. That's not right. That's not right. But... There's a point where it's like it's that possession that is like really coming in.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I took it. That's sure. The direction that I was going with it. Yeah.
Yeah, so you relate to the good Melissa.
I do. Yeah. I do. I relate to the love. I'm all about the love.
Yeah, because we were trying to figure out a lot of... Because one thing that became obvious when there was that kind of division of good and bad Melissa, the clothing changing, you know, not wearing all the plaid and the jeans, and all of a sudden now it's a dark colored, you know, jackets and stuff like that. And it was very interesting to see and also wonder, because there was a dynamic story element in the first chapter when Melissa comes back and she wakes up in that warehouse where you're walking out, but sitting on the floor next to the door sometimes is also you. And then that kind of led and went down a rabbit hole of like, well, is this really happening? So is maybe the good Melissa stuck in that place and now the bad one's going out? Or are these two different time periods? Was there one point where she was sitting there and then another point where she left and we're just seeing them at the same time? It's hard to figure out what's right.
Well, I feel like that was the purpose of that.
Yes, there's nothing but curveballs, but it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
To try to figure
it is. That's the fun
out.
In it. Like, there's always a curveball. There's always a new like story, like and a new like a new place to go.
Yeah.
With what you want to think and what you want to, you know, what how you want to develop the story in your mind as well.
Right. Have you had any conversations with maybe some of your peers that are also, you know, actors and actresses, and their curiousness about this thing that you got involved in that's so different from the normal kind of TV and film process?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I have a lot of friends. I have a lot of friends in stage and a lot of friends in, but I think they all just think it's really cool and it's so cool to be part of a new way of bringing our craft to light and bringing a story to light.
Yeah.
So I think everyone's just really excited about it.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, some people are a little bit too scared to watch it.
Yeah.
One of them was my brother. He was like, I'm a bit afraid. I'm like, you suck it up. Watch the show.
Yeah. That's how the singer in my band is. She is way too scared to watch it, but she loves for me to talk about it. So like she bought the app and everything. Cause she wants to support it, but then I'll describe things to her. So she doesn't have to actually see it herself. And she's completely, you know, enthralled with the whole idea behind it.
Yeah. Well, there you go. To each their own on what we all like to watch, you know?
Yeah. And of course I don't mind talking about it. That's kind of all I ever do.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. Cause I love the fact that there are mysteries to figure out and that, These little things that you see are actually something worth looking into. And it's not just, you know, a mistake or just something they threw in there. Like there really is something to go deeper with.
No, there are not many mistakes in there.
Mm-mm.
No.
Not at all.
One time I was wearing my shirt the wrong way.
Like backwards?
I don't know if I'm supposed to say that. Why am I telling people that? I'm sorry. backwards. Now you can go and look for that. Okay, no, I'm just kidding.
Is that a dynamic story element? You have a tag
no,
sticking out of the front?
No, it's not. It was a wardrobe error. Yep. It happens. Those things happen.
That's funny.
Yep.
Were there, and I don't know if this is just a cheesy question, like, you know, especially for people in scary movies, but I asked Neil and I can't remember who brought that up to me, but while you were filming, was there anything that kind of scared you? I know there's the crew and everything's around and you're pretty aware in the moment that you're kind of just working on telling this story, but the locations, particularly Maynard House, like anything really freak you out?
Yeah, there was something like off about that location.
Yeah.
It was a cool day and all, but I was happy I didn't really have to go back.
Hmm.
Like, and I would go back. Like, obviously, I'd go back and I'd film there. But there was something creepy about it. Of course there was. Absolutely. That being said, like the whole, like what you said, the whole entire cast and the crew and Neil and everybody, it was such a positive, amazing environment to work in. That you could never, like, you would obviously never get scared, like, as you are watching it. You'd never have that, like, you don't feel that, like, suspenseful, like, oh my God, what's going to happen? Obviously, sure. In the moment, there's a million people around. But yeah, like, it can get scary. There's scary locations and there's scary things that you're talking about. And I mean, as the character, you do have to psych yourself out. You have to get yourself, you know, you have to wear your heart on your sleeve and just be ready for anything. So yeah, I kind of like thought about it. It's kind of like, it's like a scary roller coaster ride. Sure. Like you don't always know what's next and you usually love the ride, but sometimes there's moments in that ride where your stomach is going to like just totally turn and scare you. And sometimes those moments are the best though.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just, yeah, I don't know. It can be scary. I remember one time too, the only time I was alone, I actually, there was a scene where I did where I walked around a corner and I went into Catherine's room and I slammed the door and the camera was outside the room and I was in Catherine's room alone. And I remember slamming the door and being like, oh God. Like, and I'm like, the second I closed the door, I was like right out there and I was like, hey guys, okay. Yep. I'm back and we're here and everyone's there. And I was in there alone for a second. And I remember Neil one time, he's like, do you want me to come in there with you? And I can't remember if he did or not, but I remember thinking to myself, like, oh, kind of.
Yeah, can't hurt.
Yeah.
I hear Neil told us that Maynard House is gone now.
Oh, I did not know that.
Torn down.
Well, good, because it was a creepy place. Sure. So I don't know if that's bad for Haunting Melissa, but like, I don't know. It's like,
I guess, you know, the mysteries get destroyed with it, so we'll just never know.
Exactly. We'll just never know. Yes.
Because I do want to know what happened in there with the ritual and you know, how the whole ball got started rolling. Because, you know, I would like to know how this whole thing even started. Did it, you know, how did Jack and Catherine even find out about, I mean, I guess, you know, Karis and all that stuff, but just how did this whole thing come about? And then the Lancasters get pulled in, and how did they find out about it? Just don't know.
I know, it's the mystery of it.
Yeah, I've got.
You're supposed to not know some things.
Yeah.
For right now, I guess.
Right now, okay.
Well, we'll see. I don't know. We'll see.
In chapter 18, and we kind of talked about it a little bit before we started recording, when I noticed through the whole scene where you're kind of chasing down Dr. Carraway that you never blinked in that scene, which seemed to perfectly fit the state of mind of Melissa in that moment.
Yeah, when you say that to me, I like, honestly, it's not like, it wasn't like a conscious actor choice, but as I got crazier and crazier, well, I shouldn't say that, as Melissa got crazier and more possessed and more, I don't know if maybe like subconsciously I was trying to have ways of myself, like I obviously am separating myself from the character at that point a little bit more too, so it was just potentially me being really focused on the task at hand, like being really demanding, being like, hopeful. I mean, I'm guessing it was just me in the moment, like feeling what I thought I would feel like if I was there, you know, I mean, that's all I can really say. Cause I don't remember having that conscious. Although at that point in the film, I was very like wide eyed, very, what's the word I'm looking for? I was, it's not really aware. Like I was just very conscious of my surroundings, I guess, because as you try and figure out this like mystery, I feel like I was becoming more and more conscious and more alert of something popping out at me or something weird happening, or do I trust this person, like eyes wide open, am I trusting you?
Right.
Type of thing. Like, not going to miss a beat of anything, any move you make, because I don't trust you, because obviously I did not trust Carraway.
Yeah, that's one of the people I think universally nobody trusts. And we were a little shaky on her in the first movie, and then in Dark Hearts, it really got turned up a notch where you're just like, clearly she's involved
somehow. For sure.
But how did she get involved?
There was something off about Carraway from the beginning.
Yeah.
A funny little thing about the first one, that first, like, Carraway, I'm giving you some secrets, but the first whole, like, the first movie, all those Carraway scenes that we did, they were all shot in the same day.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. Which was interesting because the whole, like, it really let the whole arc of me and Carraway happen. And I always knew, like, before we would film a scene, like, Neil and I would always talk about, okay, so where were you before? What were we doing before this?
Okay.
We wouldn't talk about after, because after doesn't really matter anymore. Like, when you're doing a scene before, obviously what's happening after it, that does not come into play, because I don't know that's going to happen yet.
Right.
But we'd be like, okay, we were just at this place. So I actually, like, in watching it, I feel I like the arc of those Carraway scenes, because we were really, I mean, it's hard to do when you, and obviously when you're doing a film and you don't have a lot of time to do it, you have to film this way. Like, you don't have any choice but to film it sporadically. And I think, like, Neil does like to, we'd like to do it, you know, as much in order as you can, but that's obviously not always in the cards.
Right.
So there's just always, I mean, you didn't ask this, but there's just always very open discussion of, like, okay, so where were we? What were we just doing? Okay, good. Where are we now? You know?
Yeah, just to keep all of that so you know how you're supposed to, where the world is in this next scene.
Well, and it's a big preparation on the day before just to make sure that I know, like, the arc of the character, because you want to make the arc of the character work. So you want to make sure that you're, like, when you're skipping around in the journey, you have to make sure that you are clear on where your character is going and where they're going to be in the middle and where you want them to go at the end. And, you know, so that was always very, very clear. We always had discussions about, you know, sorts of things.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. All in one day. I'm going to have to look at that with a whole new perspective.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, well, now you can go back and be like, wow, we did that all in one day.
Yeah, because I definitely didn't get that impression from what I saw, so.
Well, good, that's the point.
Excellent.
So maybe I shouldn't have told you, but I'm letting you know the secrets of Haunting Melissa. These are the real secrets of Haunting Melissa.
Yes, the secrets behind the secrets of Haunting
exactly,
Melissa.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah, because Carraway's off camera. And so you can't really see her facial expressions. You just judge by the way she says things. And she, it seems to deliver, she delivers her lines, not Miss Dr. Carraway, but I'm suddenly blanking on her name.
Lorette.
Yeah, the way she delivers the lines, you can tell there's an intention in the way she's saying them. Like, she really knows how to say a line so that you, I don't know how to put it, but you just
so that you question what she's saying,
right? You're like, it's very, very, very interesting.
And yeah, she is fantastic. And the funny thing is, she's like the sweetest person you'll ever meet in your life.
I bet I can tell. I can see
she is
that.
Like so kind and so wonderful, and yet she's playing this like evil. It's really funny.
you can see that that's in there, but she's so ice cold. And actually in that scene where you weren't blinking by chance of choice or editing, when you first pop out and she turns and says something to you and then just immediately just starts walking away, like the way she plays that whole thing is awesome.
Yeah, she is totally. She is really awesome. That's funny.
She doesn't react to Mike Cole walking past the window in the therapy session.
No. She's pretty stone cold, that one.
I'd love to know more about how she factors into this whole thing.
Yeah.
I want to know everything. That's really what my goal is.
Just to know everything.
To know everything.
Well, I wish I could help you more with that, but I,
that's okay.
I can't help you with everything.
But if there's any little tidbits you think of.
Yes. Okay. Sorry, are you still there?
I'm here.
Okay, I just got a phone call, which was funny. And then, like, you disappeared for a second. So if you said something, I don't know what happened.
Oh, no, I was thinking, and all of a sudden it got oh, really okay, quiet. Good. And I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah, someone called me. Sorry.
Oh, nothing to be sorry about. Let's see. Other things that were particularly weighing on my mind. Going to take a look at itwantstogetout.tumblr.com, the blog that I do. Just because it's just loaded with questions, because there's nothing but questions.
Totally.
There's some answers, but just... Well, actually, how was it working again with a lot of the same people? I know you came off of Merry In-Laws with the same parents, right?
Yes, I did. Yes, I totally did. That was funny, actually.
I watched a little bit of it.
Now you're going to be a different type of parent.
I watched a little bit of that because I finally found it online, and I was like trying to twist the movie in my head to imagine that it's the same universe in a weird way.
Yeah, I don't know if that's really possible. The working with the same people, you know what? It's just really cool to be able to build on something with the same group of people, and everyone was so wonderful. Mm. Like I said before, it was just the most fun cast and crew to work with. So to come back together and to work, and obviously Calgary is a small, well, it's not that small, but the acting world here is small. And so I work with a lot of them on, even a lot of the same crew on Merry In-Laws. And then we came into Haunting Melissa and we're doing something different. And so it almost just felt like family right away.
Right.
And then coming into Haunting Melissa too, it was just like we fell right back into it.
Cassia got a phone call.
Sorry, that person called me again. Sorry, we fell right back into it. We didn't miss a beat. And it just made it really easy to feel comfortable with what you're doing and to do my job and to feel like everyone's there supporting you so that you can do your job the best you can. Because obviously there's some emotional scenes too, and everyone is so wonderful, supportive, like... make sure that you're always okay and it just helps me do my job better when everyone's like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I can imagine it's gotta be comforting in a lot of ways, just, you know, to go back, you know, go to a new project and see a lot of the same faces, and you've already got kind of a groove that you can get back into and, yeah, I thought that was excellent. I was going through the IMDb, and all of a sudden I'm like, well, actually, they're in this, and so were they. And all of a sudden, everybody's connected in all these different ways. And that was actually kind of, I don't know, I like that idea, that it's not just people from out of nowhere. And so there's kind of a chemistry that I think could be very quickly seen.
Totally. Like you said, like the chemistry was already there.
Yeah.
And, like, I sat in the makeup chair on the first day, and it was like, oh, did we ever leave? Like, that's kind of what it felt like.
Oh, that's pretty nice. Mm-hmm. What do you think of The Visitor? What's Cassia's thought about him? And then could you maybe give us an idea of what Melissa thinks of him?
Of the the Dark Man?
The Dark Man, yes.
Okay. What's my idea of the Dark Man?
What do you think about it?
It's funny because as Melissa, I obviously would think about the Dark Man, but I didn't spend like hours dissecting what I thought about he's evil.
Mm-hmm.
He's mysterious. There were a lot of things about the Dark Man that as Cassia and Melissa, I couldn't understand.
Sure.
I mean, there's a lot of open questions there. Like, who is this? Who is somebody that, you know, believes in all of this evil and that can make all of this evil happen? And I mean, those are the questions as Melissa.
Right.
Like, who is this? why would somebody want all of this? Why would somebody do all of this? And those are questions that, as Melissa, like, I never had answers to, like, ever. I mean, I hope that's not a disappointing question.
No,
not or answer to the question. It was just...
Not at all.
It's I just don't know how to find answers to that, to, right. To that character, you know? I mean, and I know, like technically, and like, I know who the Dark Man was. I know, like, obviously his story journey and all of, like, all of those things. Mm-hmm. Like, I get the, like, technical parts of the Dark Man.
Sure.
But, like, as for the emotional component of the Dark Man, I don't get him. And, like, I don't really, you know, he's kind of evil. Like, I don't really want to. If that makes sense to you.
Sure. Yeah.
So, like, a lot of those questions that, I mean, and as Melissa, like, let's be, I was trying to answer those questions for myself. And like, trying to figure out who this person could be. And there was all of that confusion along with it, and all of the confusion of, like, and there was also that component to Melissa too, of the confusion of, am I just going crazy?
Right.
Am I just crazy? Could this be me going crazy? Which is a totally terrifying thing to think about.
Yeah.
Like, is this all in my head? Like, what? Like, that is terrifying. So, yeah. That's kind of my feeling of the Dark. I hope that answers your question, because he's a very hard character to understand for me personally, and for me as Melissa.
Yeah.
And I was trying to, you know, as I said before, like, I didn't spend a lot of time thinking about it. Like, I did think about it. I did try, but I guess I, what I meant was, like, I can't like draw conclusions to his character.
Right.
So it's a mystery for me too.
Yeah. You know? My last episode was with him, and I came out of there with even more questions.
Oh, good. Okay, good.
That was one of the things I really liked about the addition of that character, is that he's such a big force in what's going on, but you know almost nothing about him.
Totally. And that there we go. That's kind of like how I felt too. Like, he's a huge force. He's such a weird, interesting, weird character, and yet you just cannot draw conclusions about him, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, another other character question, but one that you've had some run-ins with in Dark Hearts, is the old hag, or Grey Granny, or all the different names that have been put out there for her. Do you, and you don't have to answer specifically.
Okay.
But do you have an idea about what her deal is? Like, who she is, like, what her function is? Is that something that you know?
That is not something that I know.
Okay.
That's not something that I know. That's not something that I've really, like, actually discussed.
Okay.
So I don't know. I mean, in my mind, I guess, like, I drew a conclusion for myself, but, like, again, that conclusion is, like, not something ever discussed with, like, anybody else. Like, I actually don't think I've ever discussed it with anybody. I was just kind of like, oh, okay, well, that woman is, like, because you kind of, I put it in terms for myself, but also as my character, as Melissa, that woman is there. And, like, as Melissa, I didn't really question it, because there's so many weird things at that moment. And as Melissa, like, I don't know who that is. Like, I have no idea who that woman is, you know?
Right.
And I don't, like, there's so many things going on at that moment too. Like, it's just like, if there's a moment of wondering who that is, it's not like my main goal.
Right.
There's so many other things going on right now. I'm not, like, super focused on this old creepy woman.
Right.
Whose makeup was fantastic.
Yes.
It was pretty amazing. And she looks nothing like that in real life. You'd walk by her on the street for sure.
I went and found the one episode of Heartland that Edna Poser's on.
Oh, you did? That's awesome.
To see her out of context, out of the context of Dark Hearts. And I was like, oh, yeah. That's different.
That's funny. Well, I mean, the same thing with Tom. Like, you would never.
Yeah, he's super nice. Not.
Oh my gosh, he's so nice. Like, he's. Oh yeah, you would never know. It's funny.
Well, speaking of Tom, do you have, to Neil's knowledge or not, any artifacts or souvenirs from the set?
Oh, like, did I keep anything?
Yeah.
Let me think. No, I don't think I do. I mean, I have pictures.
Sure.
Obviously. Mm-hmm. But not many. Like, I have, like, I think I have a couple pictures of, like, me getting my hair done. Like, not, like, I don't have any pictures of me, like, on set doing anything. But obviously now I have, like, pictures from the, like, that you can get online and stuff.
Right.
A couple times I took my hair tie home by accident and had to bring it back, but I don't think I kept it in the end.
Oh, okay.
So, no, I don't think I have anything.
Yeah, because Tom
had. I kind of want those boots. I like those boots.
You should get.
And I would totally love some of those plaid shirts, like one of them in particular that I wear in Dark Hearts.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't have that in my wardrobe, unfortunately.
Yeah, when I got my friend Liz to watch Haunting Melissa for the first time, the first thing that she said was that she wanted your clothes, particularly the plaid shirts. She was all about those.
Totally. I love the plaid shirts, and they're amazing. They like fit them right to you and like sew them so they fit you perfectly. I'm like, oh, this never happens when I buy things at stores. The magic of being in a movie.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Want to ask
So anyway, if anyone's listening, I would love that plaid shirt. If anyone's listening who can make that happen, that'd be great. No.
Anybody that may know of where those shirts came from, may have been responsible for them existing in the first place.
Neil, exactly.
Need some shirts.
Get some shirts going.
Like, I want to ask all of these, like, mystery questions, but.
Well, it's so hard because, like, I'm sure you're finding out that I don't know a lot of mysteries, or I've drawn my own little conclusions for myself. But again, like, it's kind of like you. It's not – I don't always have the right conclusions, but conclusions can be drawn.
Sure.
But they are for myself at this moment, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah.
I'm curious about what conclusions you might draw from this. Are there any that you'd want to share? Or any
well, theories? I can't think of any off like the top of my. I mean, I'm trying to think of the. I mean, there's obviously like character choices that I've made, and like. Mm-hmm. I mean, even like the thing about the Dark Man, like. I guess I mean my decision about the Dark Man. There is like I didn't fully make a decision, and I guess is that a decision? Kind of.
Yeah.
In itself, in and of itself, you know. So it is. It is. I don't know. Do you have a specific one that you want to ask? Like,
Well, I mean, there's who might the Grey Granny, the old hag, might be.
Oh, okay.
You know, maybe. Well, there's one about when you come back home and you're Melissa's outside and she's talking to Jack and. This was brought up on an earlier episode of the podcast. It was something I didn't really pay attention to and notice.
Mm-hmm.
One is that Jack says, you know, he says, like, how did you get back? It seemed like he knows more than he's letting on. Like he expected that she wouldn't make it back. Like, he knew where she was.
Mm-hmm.
And then also at the end of that scene, when. He hugs her, and the camera swings around behind so you can see Jack's face. Right at the end, there's this little smirk he gives that's kind of sinister. And, you know, wondering, is that a real thing, or am I just making this up when I'm seeing it?
Well, I don't know. I guess that was probably, like, a choice of Greg's, if it was. Because... I and I guess I can give you, like, this is a conclusion that I personally did draw, mm-hmm. That I can give you. I believed throughout the whole thing that Greg was good.
Sure.
And wanted to be. And so I never felt that. And in watching that, I guess I always have that in my mind. Mm-hmm. So I don't get that feeling. But that being said, Greg has the knowledge of everything. I believe that he obviously knows, like, what is going on. He knows about the Dark Man. He knows what he did. And I believe he knows why Catherine died, and he's keeping that from Melissa.
Right.
And he knows that it could be him next, and he knows that it could be her next. And he's kind of doing a crappy job, but he's trying in his way to keep life going.
Right.
But it just sounds like since this whole event happened with Karis, life has been scary and has been terrifying. And yeah.
Interesting.
And there's always been that, like, little bit of maybe between him and Catherine. I wonder that. Like, I think life was good for them, but there was always this, like, sadness and always this fear in his life, and now it's obviously coming to light. So, yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, the dad, like, dad doesn't always do, or Jack or Greg or whatever, Jack doesn't always do, you know, what you would want a father to do.
Right. And that
But I do believe that he does love Melissa. He just does not know what to do. Mm. And I mean, this situation is out of his control. And I think he knows that as well. Anyway, these are all conclusions that I drew for myself out of, like, my relationship with my father. I don't want to, like, speak for, like, what Greg was doing and his character choices, but, like, these were things that I had to go on off of with my mind and the way I thought of my father in the film.
Interesting. Wow. Mm-hmm. Thank you for sharing that.
Does that make sense? I hope so.
It definitely makes sense.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, it's just, but my mind is reeling with a bunch of different ideas and thoughts and trying to...
Oh, cool.
Awesome. Yeah, it's just constantly a thought process with this movie, which is why, one of the reasons I like it so much.
Cool. I'm so glad.
Well, at this present moment, I want to thank you for coming on the show. Is there any... Oh, lost it.
Sorry. Someone really wants to get a hold of me.
Apparently.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me on the show. This has been really fun.
No problem. Would it be possible? Do you think we could have you on again sometime in the future?
Sure. Sometime in the future. Yeah.
Excellent.
Absolutely.
All right. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
So to everyone out there, thank you for listening to A Dark Companion. You can also check out itwantstogetout.tumblr.com, the blog relating to Haunting Melissa and Dark Hearts, for chapter analysis there. You can go to adarkcompanion.com and see the episode page as well as the PayPal donation button. If you feel like clicking that, please do. And you can follow me at A Public Witness on Twitter or at A Dark Companion on Twitter. Any final words for the fans out there, Cassia?
Just thank you so much for watching and for being fans. You guys are so awesome.
Excellent.
So amazing. It's really cool.
All right, thank you very much.
Thank you.
No problem, and you have a great night.
You too. Talk to you later.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.